Rebbe Leiger, and it's been a while since before Yontif, so I'm not going to start going over the section of our discussion, which is dealing with the biography of the tzaddik, the life of that great tzaddik of Rebbe Leiger, who lived in that world of Kutsk, and then moved over to the Beis Medrash of his Rebbe, who was his Rebbe while he was in Kutsk, who was Rav Mordechai Yosef from Ishbitzer. And the last thing that we spoke about before the Yontif break was the fact that it took a great deal of convincing to bring Rav Leibel around to agree to become Rebbe. And the only one that was able to convince him was his closest friend, the great tzaddik and genius himself, who later on succeed Reb Leibel. That's the Kohen from Lublin, Rebbe Tzaddik HaKohen. And that transfer of leadership from the tzaddik who passed away, from Reb Mordechai Yosef of Ishbitzer to Reb Leibel, was symbolically carried out by the giving of a pinyan nefesh, a kvittel, from the Kohen to Reb Leibel, indicating that now Reb Leibel was taking over his Rebbe. And despite all of his protesting and his feeling of being unworthy, Reb Leibel ultimately agreed. But I mentioned 2 weeks ago that as long as the Kutzker was alive, Reb Leibel led the Chassidim in more of a limited fashion. Because the Kutzker, his first Rebbe, was still alive, Reb Leibel didn't agree to accept all the Chassidim and to fear and to run the kingdom of the Chassidim as a complete Rebbe. And therefore it was moderated in certain ways. But finally, after the death of the Kutzker, and at this point, Reb Mordechai Yosef is no longer alive, the Kutzker is no longer alive, so Reb Leibel Eiger is left with no choice but to take over the leadership. Now, in order to understand and to appreciate what was unique about Reb Leibel Eiger, we have to begin a little bit to taste of his Torahs, of his teachings. We're not finished with the biography. We're not finished with our discussion of his life. But as I've done in the past, in the midst of the discussion of the life of the tzaddik, we're going to study a few Torahs, a few of his teachings, to appreciate the life of that person. So, in order to understand what Reb Leibel, a man like Reb Leibel Eiger, went through, until he finally decided to become Rebbe, to accept the position of Rebbe, so I want to learn with you one of the first pieces that I actually ever learned in the Torah Samus in Reb Leibel Eiger. That's the first page that you have. I numbered the first piece number 2 and the second piece number 1. That's because we're going to begin with the second piece. And a little bit later we'll learn that first piece. This is in Parshas Korach. Now you all know that in Parshas Korach there was a crisis of leadership in Parshas Korach, and the authority of Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen was being challenged by Korach and his followers. And you also remember that in order to confirm the true leadership of Moshe and Aaron, Hashem through Moshe Rabbeinu devised a test where the one who is truly chosen, the staffs of all the Shvatim of the tribes would be set out, and only the one who was chosen would his staff blossom, and that's what happened with the staff of Aaron, that it blossomed, and it had almonds, and so on, as is discussed in the Parsha, in Parsha's Korah. So the Torah says, if you look at there on the bottom right-hand side, and when you're reading the teachings of a tzaddik, you have to understand that it is not something that he intellectually devised, it's not something he was thinking about, is something that he lived with. And that's why I wanted to learn this piece together with you. This is probably the first piece I ever learned myself in Leibel Eiger around 25 years ago. Maybe a little bit more than that by now. Yeah, it must be around 30 years ago from Reb Leibel. And after that, I pretty much was convinced that it's important to go through everything he wrote. So, V'hayu ha'isha she'evchar bo matehu yifrach. So it says, So it says in the pasuk, "V'ahoyah ha'isha she'evchar bo matehu yifrach." Hashem is saying that the man whom I will choose, his staff will blossom. Right? His staff will blossom. So the Rebbe asks the following. He says, L'chayra haloshen tamua. He says, really, if you think about it, the language of the pasuk is difficult to understand. He says, Lomak siv, why is it written evchar b'loshen asid? Why is it written in the future tense, the one who I will choose? Why is it in the future tense? Halokefi hanira, tainis kara chaya, kevin shenivra ha'adam lios holech v'olam imadregi l'madrega, v'chol adam yuchalov v'ad l'madrega hayose gedola. He says, Korach's taina was, basically all men are created equal. He believed in democracy. And he said, therefore, since we're all created equal, every person has the ability to rise from one level to another and to eventually come to that highest level. Imkain, therefore, Madula Yuchagamhu Lovel Madrega Sakuna. Therefore, why would he be denied the privilege if he would work hard, he would struggle, he would climb the corporate ladder, and he'd be able to eventually reach the level of being the priest, of being the high priest of Kuna. So Kanira Mitainas Kikola Eda Kulum Kedoshim, as he says, all Jews are holy and God dwells within all of them. So why was it Moshe and Aaron? Why do they have this privilege? Specifically, Aaron is being the high priest. B'tshuvas Hashem is Baruch Haya, and Hashem's response to that was, Ki hein emes shekein hu. Hashem's answer to that is, you're right, everybody can lift himself up. Everybody must lift himself up. And everybody has an unlimited level of madregas, of levels that he can reach. He can rise up that ladder. Avul el ha-kohuna ein bi'cholus shum adam lavo. However, Hashem said, to that position of priesthood, no human being can go there. Mishal shenivcha Aaron ebono, from the time that Aaron and his sons and his descendants were chosen, nobody can become a Kohen. So a non-Jew can become a Jew, but a non-Kohen cannot become a Kohen. There is no such thing. There's no such thing. And even though, you know, there's a famous joke that they say about some fellow that was ready to pay somebody $1,000, $1 million to make him into a Kohen. So then finally, the rabbi says, listen, all right, so he was bought for that price. So now tell me something. Why is it you wanted? So he made a blessing, you're a Kohen. So now why did you want so badly to become a Kohen? So he said, I felt it was only proper since my grandfather was a Kohen and my father was a Kohen that I should also be a Kohen. So we understand that Hashem's response, Reb Leibowitz, that's Hashem's response, that Kohuna Gedola, you can reach the highest level in creation, but that unique position that's called Kohen Gadol, you can't become a Kohen. You're either a descendant of Aaron or you're not. You're either chosen or you're not. And that's hard for modern people to hear. Since in the modern world, there's no such thing as anything that's closed to anybody, right? Everything is open to everyone at all times. So to say this would appear to be very, very, would appear to contradict our modern notion of an open and free society. And nevertheless, that's what Hashem said. Hashem said that you cannot reach, you could go, everybody should travel to the highest levels, but that place is closed. It's only for Aaron and his sons. Kedi'i says, it says, Achlan is Kadesh Aaron, how you call Yisrael Ruyin. As it says in the Medrash, that until Aaron was sanctified in that position of being Kohen, all Jews, the Jewish people, had access to perhaps becoming Kohanim. But once the choice was made of Aaron and his sons, that was it till the end of time. Umishnes Kadesh Nitzel, once Aaron was sanctified as Kohen, everybody else became disqualified. V'imkein ha'eroi lomar v'ahaya ish asher b'charti bo. Therefore, the Reb Leibowitz question is, why does it say in the Torah? Why is it in the Torah, Va'isha she'ev charbo, the one whom I will choose, his staff will blossom, right? This is the test, to prove that Aaron is the true Kohen. So it should have said, the one whom I have chosen, since the choice has already been made. Korach is fighting with that choice that God already made. The choice that he made that only Aaron and his sons can be the Kohanim. So, it should have said, we would think it would have said, Ha'isha Shebacharti Bo, the one who I have chosen, meaning Aaron, his staff, and his staff alone, his shtekel, his stick, will blossom. Why does it say in the future tense, Ha'isha She'ev Charbo, the one whom I will choose, as if to say, God forbid, let's see. That's what it sounds like. Let's see. It's not clear. Let's see who I will choose. Hasbuch Halil, God already chose Aaron. It was clearly stated in the Torah that God already chose Aaron. So why does it say that the one whom I will choose, his staff will blossom? Now this piece, and I wanted to learn this now, since we're now talking about Reb Leibler becoming Rebbe. So I believe with all of my heart that when Reb Leibler is said over this Torah that he was crying, and it comes out that the time that he said this is one of the earliest times, it must be at the beginning of his leadership. And pay close attention, not just to what the tzaddik was saying, but try to imagine how he said it. Now listen carefully. He says, "V'yei shloima." He says, one can say, "Shebazen nirmaz ikar sibas habechira ba'ar." That the Torah is telling us here, the Torah is hinting to us why Aaron was chosen. The reason that Aaron was chosen. It's not just telling us a fact, a cold fact of history in the past that God chose Aaron. It's telling us why Aaron was chosen. Ki Aaron ha-Kohen av she-yodah shuhu ha-nivchar mi-ito yisbarach la-avodas ha-kohuna. Because even though Aaron ha-Kohen knew for a fact that he was the one who had been chosen in the past, that he was the one who was selected, he knew this for a fact. Mikol makom l'rov in v'sanusa, nevertheless, because of his great humility, lerov in visanuso, vishiflus rucho, his lowness, his humble spirit, lo batachni bo bekirbo shiatomit hu anivchalaza. He couldn't be certain in his heart. The fact that God chose him in the past, the fact that he had been chosen, did not give him the certainty and the peace of mind and the confidence that tomorrow he was going to remain someone who was chosen. The fact that yesterday he was chosen doesn't say anything about tomorrow. V'af al rega hashniyah, never mind tomorrow. Reb Leibler says he wasn't even sure about the next moment. That's how Aaron lived. It can make you cry. Aaron lived in such a way, God told him, you are different, you're chosen, you're special. And Hashem told him, you and your children, all that stuff. But in Aaron's mind, every single second of his leadership, every single second of the priesthood, the question is being raised in the entire universe. Is this man worthy? It's being asked again, every single second. Is he worthy? Will he be worthy a second from now? Will he be worthy tomorrow? Therefore, v'apa rega hashniya, lo botach b'maisev she'en nisha etzlo mida hazu. He wasn't certain that this would remain with him the next moment. This position of authority of leadership. He was constantly longing and turning to Hashem and awaiting Hashem's kindness, that even now, this moment, I should be once again appointed and chosen. Look, that's how he lived. He lived from moment to moment, waiting to find out, am I still okay? Do you still like me? Am I still chosen? Am I still different? Do I still have the job? He didn't settle in to some tenureship in the priesthood, you understand, in the kahuna, resting upon his laurels, feeling, I was chosen, God told me that this is an eternal choice, therefore I'm finished. And therefore, I'm able to rest assured that this is locked in forever. He wasn't like that at all. Aaron HaKohen was every single second anticipating, waiting with longing, davening, that this next moment I should be worthy. I should be worthy once again to be chosen. As if he was never chosen. As if a choice was never made. Because it was absolutely clear to him. Now this was taught when Rabbi Leibler became Rabbi. He says, because it was absolutely clear to him. Kihaya Esla Bor, Shemash Nivcha Enamitsida. That the fact that he was chosen was not because of his qualifications. It was not because he was so great. Rak michefetz Hashem, it was because of Hashem's mysterious will. It was because of Hashem's mysterious desire that he was chosen. Umi yodea, and therefore who knows? Im gam berega hashniya yivchar bo. How do I know if God in his infinite wisdom will choose me again? Because I myself am not worthy. So how do I know that tomorrow I will be worthy in his eyes, that he will want me still to be in that position?
Who
Who knows whether or not God will grant me that great holiness to be fit to serve in that position as high priest. What a beautiful Torah this is. Therefore, the Pasuk says, the man whom I will choose. It doesn't say the one who I have chosen in the past tense, because Reb Leibler says that no Jewish leader should ever feel as if it once happened and that's it. He has the position. It's finished. It's a constant choice that God is making. It's a constant, it requires a constant tefillah, a constant prayer on the lips of the one who has that position to daven that this moment, a moment from now, may I be worthy in your eyes. A moment from now, may you make this choice once again that I should be worthy to lead your people. Therefore, it doesn't say, Va'isha Asher Bacharti Bo, the man who I did choose in the past tense. It doesn't say, Asher Bacharti Bo, the one who I chose in the past tense. It says, the one whom I will choose. And the Reb Leibler is saying, this is not just telling us a test between Aaron and Korach. It's telling us the qualification that Aaron had. Hashem is telling Korach, you don't understand why the man was chosen. The man was chosen because in his eyes, I'm constantly choosing him. And not because of his yichus, not because of his family, not because of his brilliance, not because of his stature amongst the people, that he is a prophet for all those years. You know why Hashem says, you know why I love him? You know why he's going to lead my people? Because he feels every single second he's waiting for me to tell him, start again. Try again. That's it says, Zechavon of Hayesha She'ev Charbo, that I will choose. Shemidosa Letzapos Tomid She'ev Chabo Gamba Reg Haba. His Mida is that he should constantly yearn, that he's constantly yearning and craving to be chosen this next moment. Matehu Yifrach, this man's staff, his stick, is going to blossom. Is going to bear fruit. Ki mata hu dover shekvar nigmar kol tzarcho. Because what's a mata? A mata is something that's already finished. A staff is something that's already... The staff is something that was already cut down from the tree a long time ago. It was carved. It was designed. It was prepared and made. It's already finished. That's what a mata is. It's not something which is alive. The mata is no longer alive. The staff of the leader is dead. It's a piece of wood, a shtickle holz. It's nothing. What is it? It's a piece of dead wood. So look at the test of the kahuna. Look, it's not a test. It's a verification. It's a verification that this is the man who I have chosen, and I'm telling you why I've chosen him. That what? That even that piece of wood that was long ago cut from a tree and lost its life is constantly searching for life. Is in search of life. Feels dependent upon the creator of the world for life. That's what it means. It can't grow anymore. What, if somebody has a walking stick or a cane? He thinks he's going to leave it in his living room, then the next morning he's going to have flowers? It grows? It's finished, it's done. It doesn't grow. And Reb Leibler is saying that's what's happened to many of our leaders. Many Jewish leaders, many rabbanim, many teachers, many parents, right? Those are also Jewish leaders. Once they have the position locked in, that's it. They grow old, they grow tired, they grow stale, they stop growing, they stop changing. They no longer feel that they have to beg God to be worthy of that position, to be a father, to be a mother, to be a friend, to be a rabbi, to be a teacher. They no longer feel that I have to wait to see whether I can be chosen. Therefore, the staff of leadership in the hands of those people is taket dead. It has no life. But Aaron HaKohen, this Jew, who's every single second turning to me for life, who every single second is waiting to know whether or not this moment, this coming moment, is one where he finds favor in my eyes to continue or to start again. His stick, his staff, bears fruit. It's constantly growing. This constant change, this constant reevaluation, constant rejuvenation from moment to moment in his leadership. And the word that's being used here is the man who I will choose, his staff will yifrach, will grow flowers, will blossom. And the Rebbe says blossoming is something which is the beginning. It always means, it always indicates the beginning. This is a staff that's been dead for years. It was taken from the tree years ago. And yifrach means the beginning of something. V'zeha osra hamofes al kedushas Aaron. This is what Hashem is telling Korach. This is the proof of Aaron's greatness. This is the oath. This is the sign that Aaron is the one for the job of Kohen Gadol. She'ein kedusha su eslo kedavisha kvar nigmar. His kedusha, his holiness, his greatness is never in his eyes as something that is done. It's finished. I'm already finished growing. I no longer have to change. He never saw himself that way. All of his life it was Yifrach, starting again, that Hashem should choose me again. Rakhu tamid chodesh etzlo. It's constantly new to him. Kemosha maschil atem yichodesh b'avodazu, as if it's the first time in his life that he's just trying out for the job. He's just trying out for the job. Can you imagine if every lahavdil, if every professor in college would teach that way? I had professors that I wasn't sure if they were awake, if they were alive. No, you never had people like that? We weren't sure. There was a fellow we had in Jewish history. He was teaching it 50 years. He himself was part of Jewish history. And he would stand up. He never stood up. He would sit there, and it was mamish, something that was from 50 years ago. And you felt it, that there wasn't the slightest bit of interest in his students, that the material was already dead years and years ago. The material had died. And this was something that he was doing because it was a job. And there are leaders like that, and those are the leaders that bring destruction to the Jewish people, that bring suffering to our people. Leaders that are no longer alive, that are no longer waiting and begging for Hashem's approval. So this is what he's saying. The true leader, and he's talking here, you understand he's talking about what it means to be a Rebbe. That's what he's talking about. And that's why I was so moved when I first read this piece. And you know that Reb Leibler didn't want to be a Rebbe. And when he finally, after the Kohen gave him no choice, and the Chassidim gave him no choice, and he agreed to the position, this is how Reb Leibler lived. This Torah is the way that Reb Leibler Eger lived, every second of his life. Like a flower that's just beginning to blossom. That's the pasuk you were thinking about. That's why it says, Tzadik katomar yifrach. That the Tzadik blossoms. Like the dates, and Korach's name is hinted there, of course, in the Arizal, the last three letters of Tzadik, Katamar, Yifrach, spell Korach, which is also very deeply connected to this whole Indian. But this is the message that is given to Korach. You want to be a leader because of a choice that was made. The reason I've chosen the man is because he never feels that the choice was made and it's finished. It's the same thing when it comes to being Jewish. It's the same thing, the chosen people. If that to you is a historical fact, and it's not something that you live with every moment of your life, when you get up in the morning, and the way that you wash your hands, the way that you say your moda ani, the way that you make your brachas, if you're not a person that's waiting to find out whether today you're being chosen, whether today you're worthy of God's choice, then God forbid we fall into the same rut as that old professor. Because Yiddishkeit and being chosen is true. But the Rebbe Shalom's choice of every Jew is a choice of Asher Evchar Bo. The one whom I will choose. Even though it's true that we've been chosen. But the tzaddik can't live that way. Because if you live that way, then you lose your chosenness. You lose the reason for your being chosen. Many people, when they first become religious, when they become Bali Tshuva, and there's that constant excitement, when they discover a new halacha, discover a new way of trying to find favor in God's eyes. And how sad it is, when often it happens that they settle into that rut that many of the born so-called from birth, so to speak, as much as I dislike the title, that the from birth Jews, that eventually the Bali Tshuva set, very many of them settle into that lifestyle, whereas it was what? Asher Bachati? Well, that I was chosen. I'm one of the chosen people. What's refreshing about the Bali Tshuva is that effort that the Bali Tshuva is making to become chosen. That's the excitement. And really, that's what Hashem wants us to all be like. That's what He wants us to all be like. That's why I've mentioned many times in Shul, that I was privileged to see the Gary Rebbe, the Beis Yisrael. That was something to see. So they say from the Beis Yisrael, there's a famous Meister from Beis Yisrael that's brought down in many Sfarim, that, you know, Friday night, everybody used to say Good Shabbos to the Gary Rebbe. After davening, Kabbalah Shabbos, everybody would say Good Shabbos to him. So there was a yeshiva guy, and he was online, and and he was a guest. And the Rebbe asked him, what's your name? He told him his name. He says, where do you learn? What do you do? He says, I learn in the Or Samech, but I'm not a Baal Tshuva. He's an Or Samech, a Baal Tshuva yeshiva, right? So he says, I learn in the Or Samech, but I'm not a Baal Tshuva. So the Rebbe says, Favus Nish. Why aren't you a Baal Tshuva? Why can't you be a Baal Tshuva, right? What's so bad to be a Baal Tshuva? Because the tzaddik, He had a very sharp sense of humor. He was famous for that. But that's not the point. The point is that the Rebbe himself looked at himself every way as a Baal Tshuva. There's no question in my mind that the Ger Rebbe saw himself every second as wanting to do Tshuva. Every second as wanting to grow, as wanting to change. Never stale, never old. Rabbi Nachman Breslov used to say he can't tolerate old Hasidim. He can't stand old Hasidim. Right? He wasn't talking about Jews that they shouldn't live till 120. He wanted every Jew to live on Nebuchadnezzar, and he died a young man. But he wanted every Jew to live till 120, but he said, I can't stand old people. I hate old people. He didn't mean an age. He meant Jews that became old. That became old, whether you're 20. I always point out to my own children, because my father used to point it out to me. My father couldn't stand. And he still points out to me, I'll tell you the truth, he still points out as often as he used to, but he still points out to me, he says, why do you walk like an old man? You know how everybody's with the feet on the floor, and you hear the shoes a half a block away, right? We have kids that walk that way, like alt dimension, alt Eden. My father said, what's the matter with you? You stand up and walk like you're a young person, what's the matter? Why are you walking like that? And my father, said, you still walks that way, you should be well. And that's a sign of that midah that's called tzaddik atama yifruch, to be alive, to be blossoming, to be growing. That's the qualification of Jewish leadership. And Korach missed the point. Korach's tainus, he says, listen, anybody can reach the madrega. Yeah, you're right. You have a lifetime to grow, Korach, and you're a big tzaddik. Korach is a big person. You could grow your entire life, but he is the man. You want to know why? Because I know everybody else in the world that if they get the position, then they put up their thing on the office, and they have their thing. You have people, lahavdil. You have these nobodies that they get some promotion. They didn't do before they did a stitch of work. They already have like new stationery, and they have like a new they have new stuff for their desk and send out announcements and all this narishkeit. It's all like all covered. You know, people are seeking covered. It's never a question of are you qualified. It's I have the covered. Aaron HaKohen would never ever have put up a sign on his door. The high priest. No way. There's no such thing. It couldn't be the high priest. Why? Why should I make up a sign? I'm gonna go to the store and spend money on a sign if 2 minutes from now it's gonna be postal. He said, because in his way, 2 minutes from now I could be a water carrier. 2 minutes from now I could be a water carrier. And I have to work to be worthy every single second of my life. So he's gonna put up a sign in the door, high priest, chachma. Send out announcements. There's no tachlis. Because he didn't look at life that way. So the Baruch Shalom tells Korach, grow, be a tzaddik, and you are a tzaddik. Don't fall into this mistake you're making. But Aaron HaKohen, he's unique. He's unique, him, and I'm giving it to him and his children. This ability of never ever stopping. That's Aaron HaKohen. V'lozen nivcha Aaron HaKohen l'hakriv karbonis Yisrael. Therefore, Aaron was chosen to be the one to bring, and his children, to bring karbanis, to bring sacrifices on behalf of the Jewish people. To bring karbanis. Ki inyan karban, what's a karban? What's a sacrifice? Ki inyan karban uis karvus nefesh amaruchav. The word karban, the Rishonim say. The word karban comes from what word in Hebrew? Karov. Karov means what? To draw near. To bring near. Right? To be makarov, to bring near. This is the man who can bring someone near. Him and his children can bring Jews close to me. Why is that? He says, "Apshi yedei masha over alav adheina." Because what does it mean to be makarv another Jew? After you read this, you don't have any bechir anymore not to be a chassid of label. You don't have it. There's no bechir after this. There's mamish no bechir. He says, "What does it mean to be makarv somebody? What does it mean to bring another Jew near? How do you bring a Jew near to Hashem?" Now they already made this into a new business, also, right? You could now people have on their office makarv, also signs on the office, a professional kiruv worker, right? This is also a silliness. How do you be makarv a Jew? I'm not talking about professional kiruv workers that have conventions for kiruv professionals. I'm not talking about that. Each and every one of us at work, each and every one of us with our children, with our friends, each and every one of us has to be makarv, every Jew that we meet, to make a Kiddush Hashem and to speak good words to other Jews. How can you really be makarv? Who's the best makarv in the world? And you know, Aaron was unbelievable, right? That was his whole life. Aaron's whole life was doing that. Husbands, wives, friends, that fights, right? Makarv people, bring karbanis. What's a karban? To bring every Jew near Hashem. How do you do that? There's only one way. The only way you could be someone that's makarva the Yidden is if when you look at a Jew, you look at him in this way. Whatever was until now, that's finished. The question is, what's going to be a moment from now? That was the great mitzvah. That's how you makarva a Jew. Because whenever you're stuck in someone's past, you can't be makarva him. If you're stuck in your own past, you can't get close to Hashem. The word aveira, sin, comes from the word avar, which means the past. You can't get, if you can't be makar yourself, Hashem, if you're not living this way of what? Ha'isha she'ev charbo, that this next moment God can still choose me. Then you say, well, what about the last 40, 50 years of your life? Come on, it was a big mess. Aaron didn't look at life that way. He never looked at things that way, because that's a dead stick. That's a staff that's already dead. Aaron looked at every Jew as being alive. He looked at every Jew as being a living organism. He looked at every Jew as being that, a stick that was taken a long time ago, yeah, but it's waiting to blossom. Therefore, the issue was never, have you been chosen until now? How come you weren't keeping Shabbos until now? How come you weren't doing the right thing until now? How come you're running around with a boyfriend, with a girlfriend, with this, with that, until now? That was never Aaron's question. Aaron's question never was what was until now. Aaron's question was always what's going to be from now on. And not 20 years from now, because like that you can't do tshuva either. The only way to do tshuva, you know what the only way to do tshuva is, what's going to be a minute from now? What's going to be this moment? And how's this moment going to lead me to another moment? Never 20 years in the future, never 20 years in the past. So Aaron was this kind of a Jew. That's what the Rebbe said. How do you bring back a Jew who's far away? That's what a carbon means. Even though you know exactly what you've done in the past, you know exactly the mistakes, the craziness that you lived through already until now. It means to find a new point of Kedusha. Something new. To bring him near. He can come now. Kaloshan carbon, which is the meaning of the word carbon. And the ones who can really do this, who could see every Jew in such a way, it's because they look at themselves that way, are Aaron and his children. Because this is the midah of the kahuna of the priesthood. And regarding this person, we say this said by Bris, Ashrei tivchar usakarev, fortunate is the one who you will choose and you will bring near in the future tense. So the Medrash reveals to us an awesome thing. That this very same staff, that was the staff that proved, that verified Aaron's greatness and why he was chosen, this very same staff is the one that Melech HaMashiach is going to carry, is going to come into the world holding. That's the stick of Mashiach. He's going to hold on to that staff of Aaron, the one that blossomed. Shneimar, as it says in Pasuk, Matu Uzcho Yishlach Hashem Etzion, the staff of strength Hashem will send from Zion. That's Mashiach, the staff of leadership, of strength. That is the staff of Mashiach Tzidkein. Heinlishev Amida Zuya Yenivcha Gamkein HaMelech HaMashiach Shiaz Galim Hev Yameinu. Because this is what's going to make a Jew Melech HaMashiach. This is the qualification. This is what it means to be a Jewish leader, and this is going to be the greatest Jewish leader of all, Mashiach Tzidkein. V'zeo Merumas Behemshech Kol HaPosik. And that is hinted at the end of that pasuk there of Mata Uscha, which continues. Mirechem Yisharcha Lecha Tal Yaldusecha, where it says Mirechem Yisharcha. The pasuk means this. The pasuk means that from the womb, Mirecha means the womb. Mishacha means from the time of dawn. Lecha Tal Yaldusecha, which means to you or return, go back. Or go towards the tal, which means the dew of Yaldusecha, of your youth. It's a very fascinating pasuk. I once spoke about it for a long time, around 5-6 years ago. It says, Mishachar, Mirechem Mishachar, Lecha Tal Yaldusecha. So it seems to be two contradictory things. So it's saying that there was a choice, something was chosen from the very beginning, from the womb, from dawn. And then it says, go to the dew of your youth. Mirechem Mishachar, Hayin Shetamidu Kanoilad Michadash. The greatness of Mashiach is even though he'll be an old man, eventually, he'll be older in years, but nevertheless, he constantly will be born again. He'll constantly be coming from the womb. That's the definition of Mashiach. Although he's older in years, but he's what? Mirecha Mishachar. It's like he's just come from the womb. Mishachar is the dawn of his life. He feels that way every single day, Mashiach. That it's just now that he's coming from the womb, and it's just now that the dawn, that the sun is rising. And that's why it says in the pasuk, that's why the Mashiach's quality is compared to the dew, which is something sweet and something new, that is falling each and every second, even though you don't feel it, you don't see it, it's happening all the time, as the Gemara says in Tanis, that the tal never stops falling, the dew is always falling, but it's always new. Yifrach b'yom of tzadik, and therefore the pasuk in Tehillim of Yifrach b'yom of tzadik, that the tzadik will blossom in his day, that's referring to, that's hinting to Mashiach himself. Who inyan pricha hanal, that is the blossoming of Mashiach. Yifrach b'yom of tzadik, that's Mashiach Sekeinu. V'oid amru zal b'medrash, v'oisa hamata ha'biyad kol melech mi'yisrael. The Medrash also says that every Jewish king from that family of David HaMelech of Mashiach, every Jewish king had that staff, the same staff of Aaron. Hu gamkin, the next page, ala kavona hanal. That's also exactly what I've said, he says, until now. The Zemrumas Gamkin, to be a Jewish king, you have to have that staff. To be a Jewish king, you have to live that way. To really be a leader of the Jewish people in any position of leadership. And he was speaking about being a tzaddik, being a rebbe. Haynu kol ish. I'm sorry. The Zemrumas Gamkin posuk v'hoyei ish asher evchar bo, the man whom I will choose. Haynu kol ish sheyiyeh nivchal Hashem ve'echad min hamidos. Mamidas Achesa, Mamidas Amalkus, Yad Nivcharak, Mamidazu, Matehu Yifrach. Listen to what he says at the end here. If you take the words Matehu Yifrach, which is the words in this pasuk, that his staff will blossom, the Gematria equals exactly the word Mashiach. It equals the word Mashiach. Matehu Yifrach equals numerically the word Mashiach. Because that is the identifying characteristic of that will reveal the essence of who Mashiach Sekeinu, of who Mashiach Sekeinu is. And I believe with all of my heart that that's what Reb Leibler that's how Reb Leibler lived when he was Rebbe. And that's why we're going to learn more, as we learn more about his life, that's why the impact that he had upon Klal Yisrael was immeasurable then and now is blossoming with time, is blossoming over the years. The effect, the influence of this great tzaddik, Reb Leibler Eger. Some of you might recall that I was very excited last year, and I thanked Hashem publicly that I had the privilege to find the Sefer Shevet Mi'Yehuda, which has had a print for many years, which was written by Reb Leibler's son, Reb Avramel. And I was able to get the Sefer. It was all of Nisim and the Flows, which I mentioned last year, the whole thing that happened to me, that I was at a Chalitza Tzedas, that I had a very strong yearning to have the Sefer, because I heard a Torah said in the name of Reb Leibler's son, and had an unbelievable tshuka, and I davened for it. And then I was learning in a Bais Medrash in Bar Park, and I stopped into the Swarm store, and I walk in and I see on the shelf the Shevet Mi'Yehuda. I'm looking for the last 30 years, I'm looking for the Sefer, and I see Shevet Mi'Yehuda, and I start to shake. My mom starts to shake, and I'm looking at this, and I said, it's a common name for a Sefer. There are a few Swarm Shevet Mi'Yehuda. But it says on the Bereishis Shmais, so I'm wondering. So I go over and I take the Sefer down, I open it up, and it says, this is the Sefer from Reb Leibler's son. And I said to the Marcus Soram, had a tiny hakti, you had the Sefer, you didn't call me, you didn't tell me, you have Shevet Mi'Yehuda. So he said to me, I'm telling you that a half hour, somebody came in, there was a non-religious Jew whose father or grandfather passed away, and he says, yeah, I don't need all these old books, I want to take all these books off my, and he says, I bought these for him. He says, the Marcus Soram said, I haven't seen Shevet Mi'Yehuda myself in all those years. And I got the Sefer, Baruch Hashem, Zeichet to have it. And I'm waiting, I'm waiting many months, it should be Bereishis, you know. Because it's only on Bereishis and Shmais, we only have from the Shevet Mi'Yehuda on Bereishis and Shmais. So I'm all excited. So what I'm telling you, the reason I'm telling you is because you're going to hear every single Shabbos. You're going to be hearing from me from the Shevet Mi'Yehuda. Sorry. So, very often, from what I've seen, in the Shevet Mi'Yehuda, his exalted son, Reb Avramel, will very often explain Torahs of his father. Will go into Torahs of his father and develop themes that his father Reb Leibler discussed briefly in the Torah Simus and the Imran. So I found here in Parshas Mikates. So you're wondering why I'm in Parshas Mikates. So there was something that I was interested in seeing there that I had heard in his name, and you don't have it. I'm sorry. You know you have a page there from Shevet Mi'Yehuda. Yeah, I know. That's something else. We'll do that afterwards. This piece. I just found this afternoon, so I wanted to share it with you. So, in this piece in Shevet Mi'Yehuda from the son of the tzaddik, Reb Leibler's son, Reb Avramel, who we'll talk about more at the end, the biography, we'll talk about his family as well. He himself was a great and awesome tzaddik. So he brings here, I want you to hear how his son explains this Torah a little bit more. V'shaman mi pek kodosh, I heard from a holy mouth. K'vay kedushas mar abba morans, zechus hadi v'kosh l'vracha, from my father, my master, of blessed memory. V'nidfas v'tayrus emes, and this was printed, I heard it myself, he says, from his holy mouth, but and it was printed in Tayrus emes, that's the piece we just read. Pashas Karach. V'dikta kaloshna asher evcharboi. He says, I heard from my father's holy mouth, why does it say in the Torah, asher evcharbo, in the future tense? Why doesn't it say the one who I chose in the past tense? So he reviews the father for a sentence or two. My father said, because Hashem is telling Korach and everybody else why was Aaron chosen. Not just the historical fact. Why is he chosen? Because he was always low and humble in his own eyes, waiting to be chosen, as we learned. He said, even though Aaron knew that he was had been chosen for the position, the way that he looked at it was, he was always saying within his own heart, let me see what's going to be this moment. I don't know what's going to be this next moment. It never entered his mind that he was chosen for this position forever. He was constantly davening and longing for Hashem's compassion. So listen to what he says. He says, Ayin Shem with the Barba Kadoshim, please, he says, take a look at my father's holy words. Vinyin Zehu Hichzigatzim Atomin. He says, Hu Shehichzigatzim Atomin, Klish Lenigmer Malachta. I want you to hear how Rabbi Avram takes his father's teaching, this teaching of his father, and how he learns in the most beautiful way, pshat, the meaning of a Mishnah in Kalim. A Mishnah in Kalim, a difficult section of Mishnah is Kalim. What's the Mishnah? He says like this. V'yadua shekli shela nigmar malachtoi, ena makabel tum. The din of that Mishnah is, let me tell you what the Mishnah is talking about, and to hear how it applies, this teaching applies to what would seem to be a very dry law in the Mishnah is. The Mishnah there in Kalim is talking about, the Mishnah says that if a utensil is not chaser anything, its work has been completed. It's a finished product. If its malach is completely done, so the din of the Mishnah is that if it's done to the point where the person already thinks, he already is thinking that it's now ready to be used. In other words, I'm now ready to put orange juice into this thing, right? I'm now ready to use this for serving. It's already finished, it's done, and in his mind, it's ro'ri l'shimush. It is ready to be, it's done. It's ready to be used, now I'm just going to pour in the water or the juice, and I'm going to serve it. So the halacha then is, as it's stated in the Mishnah, that from that point, it's makabel tumah. Even though he hasn't yet poured any orange juice into it, he hasn't used it yet. But from the moment that in his mind, it is done, it's complete, it's finished, from that moment, it can become ritually impure. Even though you could say, hold on, you could say, it was never used. It's not a kli. It was never used. It's only theoretical. Why? Because nobody ever poured any juice with it. It's a finished product. It's still in the shop. So the Mishnah says that if the person in his mind, right, the malacha was finished, and he's completed this, and in his mind he is now ready to use it, to pour in something, to use it for a kli, for a vessel, so the Mishnah tells us that from that moment, it already is able to become ritually defiled, ritually impure. From that moment, if it comes into contact with tumah, with impurity, and so on. However, the Mishnah says, if this vessel, in the eyes of its creator, in the eyes of the fellow, is still missing after something, he wants to touch up the handle a little bit, he needs a little something to finish to smooth out a rough edge, right? If there's still something that is missing from the kli. So in his mind, even though somebody will look at it and say, it's gorgeous, it's beautiful, it's come on, you could bring it home, I want to buy it, it's beautiful. But in the mind of the craftsman, I still need a little bit of malacha. It needs something, right? It's not a finished kli. It's not a finished product. So the Mishnah then says, as long as that's the case, then it is not makabel tumim. It cannot be ritually defiled. It's not called a complete kli, because in his mind, it's not yet complete. All right, so it cannot become ritually defiled, because in order for something to become ritually defiled, to be able to become tame, it has to be a what? A completed utensil. So even though to us we say it's a beautiful, it's a very nice container, but the person says, I have in my mind is not that it's not finished, I still have to do it for something, right? So then it's not makabel tumim. Except the Mishnah says at the end, Ella, it says like a very odd thing, Ella ha'utzva. Except there's one exception to this. It's called an utzva. What's an utzva? Ella ha'utzva. So the utzva is some sort of, it's a leather covering. There are different interpretations. But the simple shot is that it was a leather covering that was being used to put on top of the chariot, like a leather covering on top of the horses or the chariot of some sort. So an utzva, why? So the Mefarshim explained, what's the difference with an utzva? Because by an utzva, even though you didn't finish it, even though it hasn't yet been completed 100%, still the custom is that people will look at it as being something which is finished, and they'll use it already until it's finished. Even though it's not completely finished, they'll still use it. It's a cover, they'll still use it. Okay, that's the Mishnah. Everybody have it? Now listen to how Rav Avraham learns Pshat in the Mishnah based upon his father's teaching. I'm sorry I didn't focus that a few. This is I didn't have it on time. So he says like this. He brings the Mishnah and he says the following. Yesh lein b'zeh. He says b'derech remez. Shekol adam shemachzik atzmo shenigma melachto melecha shemayim b'avados yisbar. If you have a Jew, then in his mind he is done. He's finished. He's complete. He is a perfect vessel. He's locked in. Machshav hazayif gufa mitamaso. This is tuma. This thought is the source of all impurity. That you have no need to grow. You have no need to change. There's nothing to be added. There's nothing to be refined. He says, it's beautiful, huh? He says, Amachshava azayis gufa metamoso. This machshav, that's what the Mishnah says, this machshav, that thought, is metami. That brings impurity. Umabalbal achachma moichishlo, diyu machshav, and it confuses you. It brings you confusion. V'chol mokum dahainu kol odom shiesh b'chisar melocha. On the other hand, as long as a Jew, that's Reb Leibel, that's an Aaron HaKohen, in his eyes, he's not finished. As long as he sees himself as lacking, the melocha is not done. I'm an unfinished vessel. He sees himself. Everybody else says, you're beautiful. And he says, and in himself, he says, no, I'm not. And I feel like I have to change. I have to grow. He sees that there's still much that's missing. He recognizes these chesroinus. He recognizes what's missing. The rights of Lasaknam, he wants to correct these things. Ein machshavim tamosa. Then he's not defiled. That can't be defiled. As long as you're an unfinished kli, as long as you're struggling to complete yourself, tuma doesn't infiltrate into your life. Dahainu, ein yochel lishlei shum tuma machshavosav. And there's one exception. One exception that could mess up your machshava. You know that it's called Ella ha'utzva. So Rav Avraham says, utzva, okay, we know the Mishnah means some sort of a cover. But you know what it's coming from, the word utzva comes from what word? Sadness, atzva, depression. Utzvi says means depression. This is the danger that could hurt a person like Aaron. Why? He says, if God forbid this Jew, because he sees himself as being incomplete. He says that shouldn't make you sad. That should make you a person who works harder. It should give you the joy that you're alive and that you're blossoming. But sometimes that person who feels incomplete, he begins to become what? Depressed. He begins to get sad. What's the matter with me? I'm never going to become complete. This person can be hurt. He can be injured by the thought that he's not finished. In other words, a person who is inclined towards depression can become very badly hurt by this feeling of constantly being unfinished. He says that's a dangerous thought. Like people that when they do tshuva, they think tshuva is depressing, tshuva is sad. Ugh, tshuva, tshuva, that's why everybody dreads. Everybody's thinking of Baruch Hashem, Yom Kippur is a long time. Finished. You know, Mashiach, Ruach, Amorid, HaGeshem, like I tell you every year from the Rishner. Right, what is the Rishner's Vart? Mashi Ruach, it says, take away all this Ruchnius and Moira Hagesh and bring some good Gashmius. We had enough already with all the Ruchnius. Mashi Ruach, take it away. Moira Hageshem, bring some good Gashmius. Parshas Bereishis, a Kugel, a Cholon. Enough Ruchnius, you won't go crazy from the Ruach. Mashi Ruach, take away the Ruach. Moira Hageshem. So we're afraid of Yom Kippur. Why? Because tshuva to us is something which is, it makes us depressed. Chas v'shalom. He's the Rambam says that's a dangerous thought. Being an incomplete vessel is the greatest privilege. That's Aaron HaKohen. Aaron always felt, every second, halavai, Hashem should choose me this next moment. I should be worthy. That's tshuva. But with simcha, not with any sadness, God forbid. It says about Aaron himself, what does it say in the Torah? It says, Aaron was always in a state of joy. His brother was just given the position of being the leader of the Jewish people, yeah? Aaron was the one who was with him for 80 years. He is the new boy on the block. Moshe Rabbeinu, right? His brother all of a sudden, showing, he walks in. Moshe Rabbeinu. Aaron was with him crying. Aaron was with him staying up nights for 80 years. So Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid that what? Aaron's going to hear this. Oh, it's going to be problems between the brothers. And the Baruch Shalom tells Moshe Rabbeinu, no, you don't understand. And that's why he's the one who's chosen to wear on his heart the breastplate of the kahuna. Why? Because I'm telling you, Hashem says, V'racha v'samach b'libo. When he sees you, he will rejoice. But only Hashem could say that to the deepest depths of the heart. Because you and I could say, like when your friend gets the promotion and you don't, he says, oh, I'm so happy for you. And then you go home and you think, I can't believe it. You know, and you broke into a million pieces. But it says by him, by Aaron HaKohen, it says, V'racha v'samach b'libo. The Baruch Shalom himself testifies. Not one second, only joy. Because Aaron never saw like this. It's me, not him. I'm the leader. He's not that. He didn't have these cheshbonos. This moment, God chose my brother. Baruch Hashem, my brother, I love him. This moment, he was chosen. It had to be me. Why? Because I'm for 80 years schlepping with the Yidden. So therefore, my brother isn't. This moment, my brother's worthy, more worthy than me. He's happy. B'simcha. And this is why Aaron became worthy to wear upon his heart that pure, loving, happy, joyous heart. That heart that felt always broken. Like the Kotsky said, there's nothing as whole as a broken heart. That heart of Aaron HaKohen would wear upon it the breastplate of the kahuna. He was always happy, even though you would say, if I felt I was always incomplete, I would be very depressed. I wouldn't know what you're talking about. He was constantly happy, even though he felt himself as being incomplete. He was constantly excited about another day, another moment of trying, of growing, of the joy of being chosen, this moment. He always felt that God's kindness is forever. God loves me no matter what, and I'm going to try harder. And because of that, he is the one who is chosen, because he is constantly rejoicing in God's choice, as opposed to the one who feels that it was made and becomes then a staff that's no longer alive, that's no longer able to breathe. So I think that by way of we'll do one more piece next week on this, but by way of introducing the idea of leadership and having an appreciation that this tzaddik Reb Leib Leeger, that when he accepted the position, what it meant to him. It's not a question of a promotion. It's not a question of chashivas and the family and hichas and so on. Even though you know who his grandfather was, he had every reason in the world. His grandfather and his father, Reb Akiva Eiger, Reb Shlomel Eiger, he had every reason in the world to feel this is a, you know, here is the man who was most chosen in all of Europe from both sides, from the scholarship and yichas and from the chassidus. He was chosen on both sides. So if there was a man in all of Europe who had the right to feel that I'm locked into the position, I could put up the thing on my door, Reb Leib Leeger felt completely, completely humbled by the choice. And he felt the awesome responsibility of being an Aaron HaKohen, which is what the tzaddik's position is in this world. The tzaddik is the Kohen. The tzaddik is that Kohen. And therefore the tzaddik brings us, we don't have any more Nebuchadnezzar Beis HaMikdash, we will have soon, but the tzaddik, in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, is the tzaddikim, the true tzaddikim, the humble tzaddikim will bring us all of these brachas. Because the tzaddik, every moment, he could bring something new into the world, because the tzaddik is new every moment. Therefore, he could bring you new life, new health, new parnasa, new children. Because he's new every second. Therefore, the tzaddik can bring these brachas into life. And when you become attached to the tzaddik, then you become attached to a blossoming staff. When you're attached, God forbid, to something that's dead, that's not alive, then what comes from it? There's no bracha that comes from it. From the tzaddik, take it from the Talmud Chacham bracha, from the tzaddik comes the brachas of freshness, of newness, of that excitement and that growth. So, Mitzvah Shem, we'll do one more piece. We'll do a little bit more next week, some Torahs on this subject of leadership and Rav Leibler, and then we'll continue to discuss actually what went on, what happened, what we know of what took place during the term, during the time of the admirers of the leadership of that tzaddik, Rav Leibler Eger from Lublin. Shkoyach.